Rishtard's Russia on Off the Ball.
Do you like the name?
I think it's brilliant.
Thanks to Flexify. Finance made simple.
Who knows what Rishtard's Russia is going to be? I don't even know.
See flexify.com.
You want to sort yourself out, Keith.
Yeah, we're building up to Ballyliffin, the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open. Everybody is decamping up to the Inishowen Peninsula over the course of the next 48 hours or so. A lot of the next few shows will be brought to you from Donegal as we build up to the Open, as I say. But it's nice that Joe has decided to hang around tonight. Joe's back in studio, thank God. He's missing for the first hour and a half or thereabouts, but thankfully Joe Malloy has rejoined us. How are you, boss?
Joe Malloy here, filling in for Rishtard. I'm the man with the quietest voice on radio. I speak at a pitch that is so incredibly quiet, it's barely audible. I'm working on it. I'm working on my Joe. I'm disappointed he's not here tonight, actually, the real Joe, because he'd be maybe another feather in my cap. He has a kind of way, it's almost like verging into Richie Sadlier at times, the way he speaks. But yeah, I know he's a big fan of the golf, and he's up in Donegal at the moment. And fair play to him. It's nice.
It's nice to have him back, it really is.
Well, one of the things he does as well, which I think is quite effective on the radio, is that he leaves pauses. And that's okay.
He's just filling time when he does that, by the way.
I think you're right.
Because he's like, literally, the lads inside will go, oh, we have to take this up to, 26 in the hour.
Yeah.
So the pauses
are
designed to get us there.
When he was with Eddie O'Sullivan, talking about Ireland, Australia, and he would say, Eddie, you were saying that Ireland aren't really scoring enough tries. Would that concern you? Coming up to the autumn internationals.
Yeah, well, it would concern me, and it's not just the fact that they're not scoring tries, they're leaking so many tries, you can't squeeze a marshmallow into a parking meter.
Yeah, Eddie, when you say you can't squeeze a marshmallow into a parking meter, what exactly does that mean? Is that something you should do in training, or?
No, what it means is that you can't flip a pancake with a spanner, you can't grate cheese with a wigwam.
Yeah, but why would you want to grate cheese with a wigwam, Eddie?
Well, that's the point.
Yeah, well, but what is the point?
I don't know. I don't know what the point is.
We had Dunnock O'Callaghan on the line with Eddie on one stage, and Eddie was coming out with one of those Eddie-isms, I suppose you call them.
Yeah.
And we just heard this tittering down the phone line from Worcester because it was Dunnock just losing it.
Yeah.
And he's like, at last I can laugh at these things now, because beforehand, when Eddie would be coming out with these in the dressing room, you just have to nod and go, I know exactly what you mean, turn around to each other half an hour later when he's gone out of the room and say, what did he mean by that?
Yeah, I know. He's incredible for coming up with these things. He kind of rewrites the whole things, they're not even cliches. Mm. They're kind of like mixed metaphors, I think.
Sometimes you gotta move the ladder before you fix the light bulb,
and how does that relate to anything?
Doesn't matter. But sometimes you have to do that, and you've got to protect the pill while you're doing it. So
he literally took that cow's arse with a banjo phrase and went.
He did. He went to town on it.
Because who has access to at the same time a cow's arse and a banjo?
Indeed.
Beyond the cast of Deliverance, perhaps.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think Eddie obviously has access.
We don't know that for sure. We don't know that for sure. The banjo, maybe.
He'd like the access. That's for sure.
I can imagine Eddie with a banjo. He'd be a decent football pundit as well, you reckon?
Yeah, I think he would. Yeah, I mean, you've got to look at that, and you've got to a situation there with the Colombians. That fella Vizar, whatever his name is. He's obviously got a Colombian name. So, you wouldn't be expected to pronounce it properly, at least I wouldn't, or even remember his name. The point is, it's all about patterns. It's all about making sure you understand the collective in a game of soccer, as they call it in America. But I suppose the point about it is, you got to take advantage of it. Sometimes you got to batten down the hatches, circle the wagons, and stand back and let the man see the rabbit. Otherwise, you can't see the woods from the trees.
That is scary. Do you know what, though? This England game as we see it unfold here. There's about 7 minutes played, or 7 minutes to go, sorry, in Moscow. England still leading by that Harry Kane penalty to nil.
Yeah.
It is indeed still coming home as football, and it's more than expected in the next 2 weeks or thereabouts as that free kick is lofted in. Eric Dier has been sent on. He's gotten, it was Harry Maguire actually, he's gotten ahead on that one, but sailed wide. It just shows the nature of this World Cup, Richard, and how it just impossible it is to call it about which way it's like who's going to win, who's going to knock who out.
Yeah,
literally every prediction that we could possibly have. I think I probably made four during the course of it.
Yeah, all good. Wrong.
It's basically me trying to bet as well. Like, it's like, oh, I'm going to chase my bets because I'm definitely going to bet in Brazil now because Brazil is the only ones left in the round use. Well, no one's got nothing right here.
No, I know. And I mean, I'd say as well, I mean, a lot of people kind of fancied Belgium as, well, I did as well. I mean, obviously they're still in it, but I mean, 2-0 down last night's match, I think everyone was going, yeah, well, I could kind of see them imploding all right in the last 16.
There's no harmony in that dressing room, none at all.
No, apparently. Apparently there's no harmony in the dressing room. But they're doing all right for a team that has no harmony. But, I mean, you know, we these pundits that we listen to, nobody predicted that Russia would get out of their group. They were the worst Russian team of all time. And it wasn't just the Irish media and the British media that were saying that. It was actually the Russian media as well, to be fair.
Absolutely.
But, you know, I've never played the game at a high level at all, but you'd still suspect that the host nation is always going to stand a chance. Surely it's worth a punt that the home nation will get out of their group, I would have thought. But that certainly wasn't being said by any of our pundits. I mean, I'd love if a pundit, was asked once, who do you think is going to win? And if they said, to be honest with you, I haven't a clue because I can't predict the future. Because that would be kind of a bit more honest.
There's a couple of them. I'm not going to name names, but there is somebody that we've dealt with on this show before. I'll put it that way. Who would go, oh, would you imagine that X, Y, and Z might have happened now that such and such a player is missing? And I've gotten the response back. Don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, haven't a clue. Oh, sure, what are you asking me for? Oh, I'm not an expert.
Okay, we'll move on. So I see that such and such is lining out a left back. Give us the rest of the team news there, blah, 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 blah. And they've gone. As I say, I'm not going to name names, but pundit thing, it's impossible to call. The future is, nobody's going to be able to accurately predict it, especially not with a World Cup that has turned out to be this mad.
Yeah, for sure. I'm hoping Belgium win it because I'd love to see a team that hasn't won it before. And also they have to prove certain individuals on RTE wrong that there's no harmony in the dressing room. De Bruyne and Hazard not talking to each other, not looking at each other. They'd patch that up, I'd say, wouldn't they? I mean, if there's actually, a chance to win.
If you're at a World Cup, you kind of put these things to one side. It was always, I think, it's almost the Sheringham Cole thing at Manchester United some years back, whereby they hated each other.
Yeah.
But by God, if you're on the same team, it makes no point to pass to somebody and then also call them an effing gobshite at the same time.
I would have thought so.
Although maybe that might make for an interesting dynamic if players are going to be mic'd up.
Yeah.
Take that.
Yeah.
Sap.
They keep on going on about the prize for this, England's prize is merely Sweden in the quarterfinal. But a shot there, from Falcao from Colombia. And of course, Falcao got most of his skills from his time in England with Manchester United and then Chelsea, but then deserted the English team and now is doing his best to rub it in by scoring against us.
You're giving me my Barry Davis fix because I'm bereft of it now. Because he's doing his last Wimbledon over the course of this next week and a half.
It's
obviously the football's wound down for him over the past number of years, and he's sailing off into the sun. He's got a documentary on BBC tomorrow night as well, looking back on his
50-odd
years at the BBC, which is great news. So the fact that I get to have some Barry associated with this game tonight is a thing.
I think he's probably my favourite commentator of all time. It'd be a toss-up between himself and David Coleman. David Coleman, you'd probably be too young to remember.
1-0!
Exactly. I was like, obviously not too young to remember.
Dad used to get me up and watch a Question of Sport.
Oh, yeah.
My secret treat as a child was to be brought by my mom. I was out of bingo. Dad would call me down at 8:30 and be all like, come on down, son. Come to this wonderful, wonderful glowing door. And on the other side of it was Ian Beaumont.
Bill Beaumont,
Ian Botham, and David Coleman in pastel jumpers.
Yeah,
answering
that's right.
Questions about sport.
Yeah, I know, that was brilliant.
And a show wonderfully titled Question of Sport.
A Question of Sport here. And even then, he would get extraordinarily excited.
And in Ulster, and well, when he used to do the 100 metres, it didn't really matter. He wouldn't make out a word what he was saying because he got so excited. It would just be, and in Wales, and Wales wins and takes the gold for Great Britain. That's the bit you could certainly make out.
That's the money shot.
That's the money shot, yeah. But yeah, Barry Davis commentating on Wimbledon, it doesn't quite have the same. I mean, he can't get quite as excited. I mean, he can't. Oh, what an ace by Rafa Nadal and a superb backhand. It really was quite wonderful to watch. And also, he can say, England are out of the World Cup, which, you know, he would be saying. I'd say he would be saying if he was commentating on it, probably in the next round. I think Sweden are going to do them. I thought Colombia might do them tonight, but I think Sweden will actually do them in the next round.
Without James, I think Colombia have been bereft of something in the final third, and their utter, if I can use this word, shithousery in defence.
They have, as Barry might say, they have been resorting to South American tactics, shall we say.
The dark arts, the dark arts.
Yeah.
Comments from the pundits of the tournament so far, because one of the best ones I heard was tonight, and this is something quite special from Dunphy. He was talking about Quintero, the forward for Colombia. He was saying that he's playing for Porto. He played for Porto. He's gone to River Plate, and he wants to be a rapper, which is good for if he wants to be a playmaker.
Well, that is very good.
I was like, wow! Yeah, the fact that you've made that leap, Eamon, from he wants to be a rapper, so he's going to be a good playmaker. Well done.
That is a very good good Eamon, by the way. Good Eamon.
Imitation of an imitation.
No, you've got to think where there's a bit more of a gap in his. I was making that point last week. There's a bit more of air in his delivery than there used to be. A bit more of that going on.
We're talking the teeth and meat.
Yeah, exactly. You don't need to your teeth to meet. You know, when you're live on TV.
That's a luxury they have on ITV.
Teeth are overrated, thanks be to God.
Judy Dunphy's is not something I think people are probably willing to handle at this hour of the night.
Keith Andrews came out with a nice one. He said, Neymar is a very talented player, but I would give Neymar a hard time for not trapping back. So that could be some kind of a hangover from playing with Trapattoni. I think it could be, you know, just like he's
post-traumatic stress disorder
playing with Trapattoni.
Yeah, yes, like the thing about it is, you mentioned Trapattoni to any of these players that played on. Duffer mentioned his name the other day. The smirk came across his face, this wry smile where he's like, I shouldn't go into this, but I might. And there's also Kilbane when he's in here as well. He mentions something to Trapattoni. There'll be start off with a laugh and then go, I can't necessarily.
This is actually bloody serious.
I've signed a contract that says I can't talk about you if any Trapattoni went on those dressing rooms.
I think Kevin has a really hard time saying stuff, doesn't he, without actually smiling. You know, he's just always smiling, isn't he? Like, no matter what. I think he's always so nice about people that even if he was asked about like Donald Trump, he'd probably say, yeah, but you can see it from his point of view, though. You know, I think Trump's a bit, you know, I think he's been given too hard a time. I do.
He's just a very happy man. He lives a good life.
Yeah, and I'd love to hear him singing Sinn Féin of Ireland on the Féin, just in his accent. Because, I mean, he used to sing it all the time.
He did. You know. He did, to be fair to
him. Sinn Féin of all, till on the grosta, till on tin a lot.
He might go into sort of an Irish prayer or whatever.
He's a happy man despite the fact his heart is broken and Mayo are out of this tournament.
But still, he can probably understand that why they're out, you know, like why the opposition want to beat them. You know, because he's a fair bloke.
Kildare have done well.
Glenn Hoddle just there as well. England, they've just got to calm down. They've just got to calm down and make sure they keep the composure.
You calm down, Glenn.
Yeah.
You calm down, Glenn. He's starting to look like Michael Heseltine now, as Glenn Hoddle, which isn't helping matters. He was once demure, kind of almost vaguely handsome footballer.
Well, he's one of those examples where, you know, if you didn't hear him speak, like his punditry is so not a reflection on what he was like as a player. He was an incredible player. I mean, really, I thought he was
super. One of the best players. If you ever, he'd be the genesis of like YouTube montages of players, because he was just amazing. The stuff he could do, shots from distance, everything. Yeah,
real like sort of graceful player.
He had elan, I think, is the word you're looking for.
Yes, that'll do anyway.
England have equalised.
Colombia have stolen it at the last minute. It's quite extraordinary. I did predict this when I came in, Richie. I said that Colombia would nick an equaliser with into injury time, and that is what happened. Disaster for England. Absolute disaster, Mark Lawrenson.
Yeah, well, I think they
England, I think they've just fallen asleep there, and it's absolutely disastrous. And obviously, it was written in the stars, wasn't it, Barry?
Well, it may have been, Mark, but it has come to pass in a way that is an absolute disaster from an England perspective.
Oh my. It was Mina with the header. The ball was crossed in. They had everybody, including David Ospina, Kieran Trippier was on the goal line, and he headed it upwards against the bar and back into his own net. And Colombia are level. Yerry Mina has equalised and is in the third minute of added time, possibly sent this thing to extra time.
This is, apparently England have got their penalty takers worked out. I mean, of course they have, but they had this sort of, you know, routine and training. They were trying to imagine apparently what it would be like, trying to simulate it. So it may well be put to the test this evening. I'm not sure who it is. Harry Kane, you'd imagine. I would imagine they'll bring on Jamie Vardy.
Vardy's already on.
Is he on?
Vardy party has already begun. But they made their changes with a view to
that very thing.
I suppose seeing this game out, maybe, because they brought on Eric Dyer earlier on.
Right.
I'm interested to see as well just how England, I suppose, will close this one out.
Yeah.
We've had some remarkable moments across this World Cup. We've seen some brilliant debuts as well on the pitch and indeed off it. Jurgen Klinsmann finally made his bow for the BBC the other night, and with a straight face said that Neymar's diving was, you know, something that he might have to keep in check. Jurgen Klinsmann.
Indeed.
And we also saw the debut finally, because we thought she was MIA, caught a customs of Hope solo for RTE.
Yeah, well, actually on Jurgen, he has the most incredible voice, because it's like really interesting from my point of view, because it's a complete combination of American and German. And he's obviously spent a long time in America, so he's ended up sounding like some kind of character in, I don't know, like a baddie in a movie, some kind of, you know.
Is there like a collective
James Bond baddie or something like this?
Is there a collective German shame about their accent? Because Didi's done his best to try and ditch the German as well.
Didi is a complete combination of Liverpool, isn't he? And but he was talking about the VAR. It's like the VAR is an absolute disgrace, because it's like forcing two people who've, like, having it in the World Cup for the first time. It's like forcing two people who've never met, from completely different cultural backgrounds, to get married in front of the whole nation, in front of the whole world, and hoping it will work out. It's just not going to happen. It's like VAR being introduced on Love Island. Although at least in Love Island, there's certain things that are worth looking back on.
His accent, you kind of think his accent is probably a little bit different off camera. Yeah. It's actually, like, it might be a bit more of a, you know, reduced kind of neutral.
It's actually
worse off.
But we saw Hope settle in yesterday. There was an interesting dynamic on the panel, because they were almost speaking to her as if she was the... there's an ad on telly at the moment with, like, a French student that's come to the house.
Yeah.
And it was kind of similar to say, it was like, oh, we've got the American that's come over now.
Yeah,
and it's like,
yeah.
I know, it's true. Will you have some stew, Hope? Will you have some... But Peter Collins playing the role of Ballon Tea.
Yeah, and I'm not sure Peter was actually listening to what she was saying. Of course, Hope, Mexico are playing Brazil. And of course, you know some things about Mexico. And she actually responded by saying, you know, I think Mexico just have this inferiority complex when it comes to playing Brazil. And, you know, I think they've got some great players, but they just can't quite do it in a World Cup. They've played Brazil four times in a World Cup recently or something. And, you know, they just can't do it. They just can't score against Brazil. And then Peter Collins says, yes, well... yeah, Richie, speaking of Mexico, as if, like, they hadn't already been speaking about Mexico. I think she puts them all kind of...
they're slightly nervy around her.
A bit nervy around her. I think you're right. It's like, you know, he's thinking, you know, I've heard you speak the same language as me, but I don't think I've ever heard words delivered like that before. You know, it's kind of like she is actually speaking a new... There's a kind of an aura around her.
I'd hate to see the Peter Collins microchip getting fritzed, though, especially at this late stage in the tournament.
Yes, indeed. It was Richie. It was Richie, and Richie was fairly cool. I thought Richie handled himself pretty well, and so did Keith. Apart from saying, obviously, that Neymar should trap back.
PTSD.
Yeah, yeah.
Trap PTSD.
I think she's gone now. I think that's the end of her.
No.
Yeah.
She kind of been here for 2 days and
gone. I think Eamon probably insisted. She's taking my job.
there by, you know, I think that I was hoping they might be on the same panel, but
that's a dynamic we'll have been robbed of that doesn't come to pass.
Yeah, we were talking earlier actually about myself and the Upper Match Boys were talking about like who would be the ideal kind of, you know, crank panel. And that would get like be box office, and you'd have to say Hope, Kino, and who were you saying there? Billich, yeah, I think Billich. It was Kino and Billich, and Eamon, obviously, maybe on the left side of it.
I'd have to have a side of some kind of meat in that Amo Roy sandwich because,
yeah,
together it's not going to be as nice as it once was.
No, be very, make a very interesting dynamic. Mm. That's for sure. Pat and Evan got very hot under the collar as well, didn't he? About
he thought some of the stuff that he's seen was from Spain in particular.
Yeah,
it's absolutely disgraceful.
And was he just saying they're not trying hard enough, or what was is it just, you know,
they're being very arrogant and lazy?
Right.
Yeah, kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think it is a shame that they're gone. I have to say, Spain, but. This is going to be very interesting now, or will it? Will it be?
This is going to be turgid, and we're going to get to penalties in half an hour's time.
You can imagine it'll be a defensive battle. With Dyer on the pitch as well, he's a very odd man to bring on, isn't he? I mean, I know he's trying to close it out.
He's possibly John Doyle's least favourite footballer. Just looking back at some chances here that Colombia had towards the end of that second half that ultimately led to that equalising goal for Yerry Mina that has brought us to extra time in Moscow. Richard, you've more gigs coming up with the lads.
And yeah.
I want, before we go, who, like, are we? Can we expect more off the Boyle captains to make its way to screens before the end of the World Cup?
We may well, yeah. Yeah, we're doing the third place playoff.
Live?
So, live.
Wow,
yeah.
Okay.
So we may well get some off the Boyle captains in there. There's plenty of subjects to discuss, of course, like there's the tennis and, you know, there's loads of other things. And, of course, I know you guys fancy yourselves at covering every subject and every sport.
You could have stopped that sentence as "you guys fancy yourselves," and I probably would have been right as well.
No. But yeah, so we could end up talking about, you know, baseball or Skittles or something.
But with great authority, Richard.
With great authority. I think Joe used the phrase drenched in superiority or something. But that's just the effect. Anyway, the two other lads made me do it. I didn't want to do
Come off it.
Absolutely true.
I'm not buying the Cook and Murphy were getting
They got me in a headlock and insisted. We've got gigs live, Upper Match live, and we're obviously celebrating 20 years of Upper Match, believe it or not. We're in Clonmel on the 7th of July, Westport Town Hall on the 12th, the Whale Theatre in Greystones on the 13th, and Vicar Street will be our last gig on the 14th. Actually, sorry, we're in the Pavilion on the 20th. So that is our last kind of World Cup-y kind of gig. Looking forward to it.
It's going to be good. Richard's Russia, thank you so much for coming in again, Richard.
Thank you, Richie.
Enjoy extra time as best you can and the lumps that will be kicked out of shins over Moscow over the course of the next
And thanks for helping us to come up with more material for our next Upper Match sketch.
Richard's Russia on Off the Ball.
Do you like the name?
I think it's brilliant.
Thanks to Flexify. Finance made simple.
Who knows what Richard's Russia is going to be? I don't even know.
See flexify.com.
You'll exhort yourself old, Keith.
Oh.